Thank you for being with us today to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. If you're visiting with us today or you were not able to make the Bible study this morning, Bill is holding a gospel meeting in the great, wonderful, wide open, lovely Magnolia State of Louisiana. So I'm sure today that where he is, the humidity is bad. He's somewhere around Shreveport, I believe. And certainly need to be in prayer for his safety and on his return, and also the gospel meeting that he's able to lead there. This morning, for a few moments, and we will be in the Gospel of Matthew. So if you have your New Testaments, please turn to the Gospel of Matthew, the 11th chapter. And I'd like to thank Alan for a service this morning. The songs fit very well with what we'll be studying today, our morning topic. The morning topic is the greatest word within the gospel. The greatest word within the gospel. In Matthew, the 11th chapter, we find Jesus and his disciples, and they're well into his ministry at this time. And in verse 20 of Matthew, the 11th chapter, the Bible reads, it says, "Then Jesus began to rebuke the cities where most of his works of power had taken place. They saw the miracles that he was performing to confirm that he was the Messiah and the words that he was speaking was true. It says, because they did not change their heart, or because they did not repent." You may have it phrased that way in your Bible. And in verse 21, we find woes. It says, "Woe to you, Chorazin, and woe to you, Bethsaida." And you go down a little bit to about 23, and it says, "And Capernaum, are you lifted up out of heaven? You will go into Hades, because if the miracles have been done that have been done in you have been done in Sodom, Sodom would remain until now." They would have repented. They would have recognized, he's saying to the people there, they would have recognized who I am. I'm the Messiah. I'm the one that's come from God. And then when we get down to verse 25, we find, "Then Jesus prayed, I praise you, Father, Master of heaven and earth, that you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have made them known to children. Yes, Father, for so is your will. All things have been given to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father. Neither does anyone know the Father except the Son and the one whom the Son wishes to reveal to him." Then in verse 28, you have the greatest word in the gospel. "Come. Come to me. All you who are weary and heavy laden, and I will bring you rest," or "I will refresh you. Take my yoke and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart. You will find rest unto yourselves." It's very ironic that in that chapter you find woes pronounced to cities, judgments upon them. But in that one word, "come to me," that phrase, "come to me," we find no wrath, we find no judgment, we find only a promise. A promise of refreshment, a promise to be restored, a promise to be made whole. In Isaiah, the 55th chapter, verse 1 and following, or if you care, in John 3:16, we find that the Father bids us come to Him. And it had an eternal cost, an infinite cost to Him. Even though we sinned against Him, and mankind sinned against Him, He provided a way of restoration. In John, the 12th chapter, verse 32, we find Jesus saying the words, "And if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." The Son says, "Come." He says, "Come," here in Matthew 11. The Spirit says, "Come." The Spirit says, through the Word of God, reflects the very voice of God Himself. And He says, "I long to have fellowship with you. Come and be restored." And in the book of Revelation, Danny, I know you have that wonderful Bible that doesn't have He has a Bible up here. If you don't know the story, he's carrying around a Bible that doesn't have the first 16 chapters of Revelation in it. So I made sure I got a verse out of the last chapter of the book of Revelation, just for that. In Revelation, the 22nd chapter, verse 17, I'm sorry. 22:17. Both the Spirit and the Bride, they say the same word. They say, come. And let the one who hears say, come. And let the one who is thirsty come. And let him who wants the water of life come and receive it without cost. The Bride and the Spirit, they say, come as well. The Bride and the Spirit, they say, come. Today, they say to the sinner, come. Come for salvation. In Romans 3:23 and 6:23, we find the writings of the Apostle Paul where it says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death or separation from God forever, because He's a righteous God and in Him who knows no sin. And he says, we deserve the separation, but we see that the Bride and the Spirit, they say, come for refreshing. Come for restoration. Come for salvation. We must come. In Acts, the 4th chapter, verse 12, we find Luke writing, he says, there's no name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We can only be saved by the grace that God has given to us through His Son, Jesus Christ. And none, as I referenced before in John 12:32, Jesus says, if I'm lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. There's no one that's being left out. When the Bride and the Spirit say come, they say come. They say, sinner, come for salvation. Because it's what the Lord is offering, and it's what you need. It's what I need. And it's what we need. The Bride and the Spirit, they say come. They say come to the saints. They say come for service and worship. In Romans, the 12th chapter, verses 1 and 2, we find where there's an acceptable service of worship, and part of that service is to renew our minds, to not be conformed to this world, but be transformed, to renew our minds so that we can offer up an acceptable service to God. A service to God. Things that we can do because He loved us. There's a race. The Christian walk is, Paul likens it to a race. And there's a race in which we all must run. And in Mark, the 10th chapter, we find that Jesus tells His disciples, you need to count the cost. You need to count the cost of following me. If you're going to follow me, if you're going to be my disciple, it has a cost. Running the race that's before us has a cost. Following Jesus has a cost. A lot of times today in our religious world, it's everything is beautiful, and if you follow Jesus, you'll become a millionaire. And they're talking about in this world. Following Jesus has a cost, but I would submit to you what is left out. Not following Jesus has a higher cost. You see, we're going to pay for this life. This life is a costly place. We can pay the price of following Jesus, or we can accept Jesus' price that He paid for our sins. But if we do not accept that and come to Him in obedient, trusting faith, we can't get that price. Following Jesus has a cost, and not following Jesus has a cost. Question is, if I come to Jesus, He's got that cost paid for. The Bride and the Spirit say, come to the saint for worship. To give an acceptable worship to God. To offer Him the fruits of our lips. To be thankful for all that He has done in our lives, each and every one. Have some spiritual reflection in your life. And see if all the times that God has blessed you or used the saints to bless you. We ought to be overcome with joy because we can come together and worship the God, the Creator God of the universe. And so many times we think to ourselves, man, Bill's sermon sure was good this morning, but I just don't like what he's doing on Sunday night. Or you might be thinking to yourself right now, I don't like what Roy's doing this morning. Or, you know, the song service is always different. They sing new songs, and I just don't like those. Or, maybe a little bit younger, you say, can we sing some new songs? Or you might be thinking, I'm never going to lead a public prayer. So for you, when someone leads a prayer, it's checkout time. Or, I don't have very much to put in the offering plate. Or, sad as it may be, I just don't get anything out of the Lord's Supper. I would submit to you that if those thoughts run through your mind, I would submit to you that from time to time we all have some variation of those thoughts because we live in a fleshly body and we're weak at times. But I would submit to you if those thoughts go through your mind on a more consistent basis, it's not Bill's sermon, and it's not the songs we sing, and it's not the prayers that we lead, and it's not the communion that we partake of, and it's not whether or not you ever put anything in the plate. It's your heart that you need to look at. Amen. Acceptable service, the bride and the spirit, they say come. The bride and the spirit, they say come, and they say come to the backslider. Come back for restoration. One of the most wonderful stories, not just in the Bible, but in all of literature, is the story of the prodigal son who got up one day and he says, Daddy, give me what I want. Give me my part. Give me my part of my inheritance, which was out of context of everything in that society structure in which he lived. Give me what I need to have. Give me my part. Not give me what I deserve. Give me my part of what I deserve. Give me what's fair. Better be careful when you're talking to the father about what's fair. Do you think for one minute that that young man thought that he was going to get all of that inheritance and he would ever wind up in a pig pen? Nah. You know, when we start out on our Christian walk, and that's symbolic of our Christian walk as well, oftentimes we wind up in places that we have never thought about. We wind up in places at the bottom where the only place there is to look is up, and we wonder how we got here. And it's at that point that the bride and the spirit say, come back. Come back. And that story of restoration that Jesus tells in the Gospel of Luke has a wonderful ending. And the ending is that the son that left, he was restored. There's more to the story than that, but that suits our purpose today. Because if you're willing to come to God, He's willing to make you whole. He's willing to restore you, to restore us to what we were made to be. The bride and the spirit, they say come. They say come to those who are tempted. They say come back for strength. We read in 1 Corinthians 10 chapter verse 13, and we sang about it some this morning as well. We read about the temptation of the flesh. We read about where we're going to be tempted, but not beyond that which we can withstand or endure with God's help. And that He always provides a way of escape for us. The bride and the spirit, they say come. If you're tempted, they say come back. Come back. For strength. For strength to get through that time. According to the writer of Hebrews and the Pauline epistles, Jesus is our high priest. He's a mediator between God and us. And He exists to lift us up to the Father. That's what he does now. That's his office as high priest, to lift us up to the Father, so that we don't walk through this world with blinders on and beat down by the world. But we, like the Apostle Paul, can go into the world as a conqueror, because our Father, it's our Father's world. In another song that we sing, it's our Father's world. I know I can get through temptation because I know that the Lord can give me strength, and I know He's provided a way for me to have strength. The bride and the Spirit, they say come. They say come to those who are living in sorrow. They say come for comfort. You know, life happens. Our world happens. It happens to us. It happens to others. There's probably a reason 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, if you care to write that down and look at it and read it a little bit later, talks about God being a God of all comfort. And we should treasure in that. And the reason that we should treasure in that this world is a world of sorrow. And if this world will put a sinless being on a cross, what do you think they'll do to us? His followers, His disciples, the people that have counted the cost and say, I'm going to pay the cost, whatever it is, of following Jesus, the days of my life that the Lord has given me, because I know that when I step out into eternity, it will all be worth it. The price that I pay will be worth it then. When sorrows occur, when deaths happen, separations occur, when bankruptcies occur, whatever life throws at you, rest assured by 1 Corinthians, the first chapter, God is a God of all comfort. He comforts us. He longs to comfort us, but only if we come to Him. Lastly, the bride and the Spirit, they say come. They say come to the triumphant saints, the people who have counted the cost. In Hebrews, the fourth chapter, we read that there is a future rest for God's people. That Jesus is providing that rest. It wasn't the promised land that the children of Israel attained in the old, but it is a place for us that we will attain in the next life. There's a place of rest for God's people. Hebrews, the fourth chapter, verses 1 through 12. And in that writing, that section of Scripture, one of the things that we're to look at is we are a triumphant saint. Because we paid the price. We paid the price and we've come to Jesus. And Jesus has paid the price of sin for us. You see, we pay the price of following Jesus. But Jesus paid the price for sin. The bride and the Spirit, they say come. Wherever you are in your life, they say come. If you're at a place where you didn't think you'd ever be, they say, come back. If you're going through sorrows, they say, come. If you're a faithful Christian, they say, come. The bride and the Spirit, they say, come. It's the greatest word in the gospel. Because in it, we come in trusting faith to Jesus. We come in trusting faith, knowing that He paid the price, knowing that we can put Him on and confess Him as the Son of God and put Him on in the waters of baptism and have our sins washed away and be a completely new creature if we come to Jesus. To rise and walk in a new life and always having the ability to come to the Father. Wonderful word. Come. The the bride in the spirit, according to the Apostle John, says, they say, come. If you're spiritually thirsty today, they say, come. If you're spiritually destitute, they say, come. If you haven't worshiped the way that we should, they say, come. If you haven't served the way you should, they say, come. And they say, come now. Come where you are, from where you're from, but come. Come obey, but come. Come expecting to receive something, but come. Come in your sorrows, but come. Come wherever you may be today in your spiritual walk. Jesus will walk right beside you. That passage of Scripture, take the yoke, means to be yoked basically with Jesus. And He says, I got the heavy part. You just keep walking. They would yoke two oxen together, and one oxen would always be the bigger one, and he would take care of the smaller oxen that they were yoked with, but they had to walk side by side. Jesus says, if you come to me and you take my yoke, I'll walk beside you and I'll refresh your soul. Come. Wonderful word from the gospel. Bride and spirit, they say come. However you come, praising, obeying, trusting, receiving, expecting, living, for prayers, whatever. The bride and the spirit, they say, come. Come now while together we stand and while we sing.